Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to talk about Dirk Nowitzki's celebrity weekend. On Friday, he had a massive fundraiser. Last year, I think they raised $2 million at this thing, all combined with Dirk's tennis event. The fundraiser on a Friday night, the tennis event being played at SMU's tennis complex. Last year, the year before Ben Stiller, last year Owen Wilson played. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of Mavs teammates play every year, and a bunch of actually respected tennis players in the world of tennis usually make an appearance.
Yeah, Andy Roddick's probably the biggest tennis name that's been involved. There's a lot of players that used to be on the tour that live here in the DFW area that are usually involved. Last year, Eisner played, but I believe his wife was giving birth. So, and then JJ had played every year, but couldn't play this year because he's playing in the World Games. So, and playing for Puerto Rico, and I believe he's the fourth leading scorer in that group. Heard that today. So he's playing exceptionally well. But normally, Barea is involved in this.
So Friday night is a big dinner and an auction, and Skin and I are the auctioneers. And there's usually only four or five items. And Coach Carlisle usually has a really cool item that he comes up. It's a mystery item, the fifth thing. One of the things was have Nick and Sam's dinner at your house for a big old party of people. And that went for like over $10,000, I think.
A bunch of money.
It was massive. And, you know, there's a lot of generous people there. The great Andy Beal was there. And Charlie McKinney, Mark Cuban's financial guy. I mean, there was...
Charlie McKinney's the guy that started Heroes.
Yeah. And so a lot of generous people raising money. And it was fun as we're running the auction and we've got really wealthy people in town that are there to contribute and make a difference. And we're trying to guilt them as much as we can to get them to raise bids on items. And, you know, I've never been in a room with that much money and seen that much power and that much of a will to help because, man, they raised a ton of money for the Dirk Nowitzki Foundation.
One of the things that's really funny to me is... we've been in these situations before, and usually if an athlete buys something, it's an athlete that's got a lot of money, right? It's like, because there's different levels of guys. In other words, Dorian Finney-Smith doesn't have Dwight Powell money. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith is on undrafted minimum contract, and it's still good money, but, you know, he's not making $10 million a year. And so what happens is these people that have money, because there's a lot of what happens is people become title sponsors. Their companies become title sponsors, and they get to go to these things. And so these people have a lot of dough. And I was so amazed that in the middle of one of these auctions, the new Australian wing that's kind of signed to replace Doug McDermott, his name is Ryan, I believe it's pronounced Brokeroff, his wife was suddenly bidding on some of these items. And I was so taken aback because I was going... He's got a lot of money, but he's not operating yet in these other financial circles unless he's some sort of independently wealthy Australian guy that I'm unaware of. But I think he wanted to show Dirk, I'm here and I am down for the cause. And I thought that was really awesome when you talk about these guys, some of these other people that are bidding are billionaires.
Yeah.
And here's minimum salaried guy going, I'm in on this. It was pretty hilarious.
Awesome. Awesome. It was just an incredible event. And then Carlisle came up with his mystery item to get people to raise money. And what he had done is I guess Dirk's one of his favorite places to play has been Madison Square Garden.
Yes. Everybody loves playing at the Garden.
And so Dirk's had a lot of success there and has loved playing there. So Coach Carlisle, he had Willis Reed sign it, right? Who came out hurt. And
so it was Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals, and you've probably heard play-by-play guys reference this a million times, the quote-unquote Willis Reed game, or he's pulling a Willis Reed. So it was Game 7 of the NBA Finals. It's the Lakers and the Knicks. It's at Madison Square Garden. Willis Reed is not going to play. They've already announced the players, and then Willis Reed comes limping out of the tunnel. He tips the ball. He's going up against Wilt Chamberlain. He tips the ball. He scores the first two baskets for the Knicks. He didn't have an incredible game, but just that surge. I've heard Jerry West talk about this. He was like, we just were done. Like, it just took all... This is Game 7. And this is the last time the Knicks won the NBA Finals. 1970. And so it's a real legendary thing. And so everyone's always seen that image of Willis Reed coming out of the tunnel. But this was when he first walked out onto the floor from behind. A legendary photographer took this picture, and there's not that many of these that exist. And so Rick had gotten Willis Reed to not only autograph it, but write a little note to Dirk. And when he did it, he did two of them so Rick could have something to auction off as well. It's like one of these things where nobody has this thing, right? Yeah. Like, it just doesn't exist in the world. Pretty cool, especially for a room full of people that love basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, it was incredible. So to get two of them, and then that went for $15,000. And
yeah.
I think it's a, you know, autographed to Dirk, personalized from Willis Reed. I mean, it was unbelievable. And so it was a fantastic event, and it's very a small amount of people there.
We probably were about 200, right?
Less even, man, I was thinking even less than that. I was thinking like 75 or something like that. It was so small. Maybe you're right. But it was all of a sudden they're like, all right, now it's time for some musical entertainment from Robin Thicke.
Huh?
And did Robin Thicke just runs out on stage and starts singing? And
you guys had no idea?
Well, I had heard rumors, but I didn't know if it was for sure. I'm Skin probably knew better than I did. And I mean,
that's how I got my wife to go.
My wife let out this squeal that was like, oh, it was you can have me if you want me squeal. And I looked at her and I was like, wow. She goes, blurred lines, honey. Like, hey, it's hard to. Could go down. You just blurred lines. Just go with it.
And this is a small stage in a small room. And so, like last year, it was a guy named Moses Lee, and he did a little acoustic set. Robin Thicke came out with all this music, fully produced.
Amos Lee,
is that?
Yeah,
who
that's
it is?
Right. That's right. Yes.
Okay.
Wow, he's awesome.
Yeah, he performed an acoustic set last year.
I love Amos Lee.
So, Robin Thicke came out, and it was this pre-produced music track. Like, you know, because some of us, like, you can imagine what Blurred Line sounds like. But then he's playing piano on top of it and singing it. And then some things he just kind of got up and sang on top of. But he performed in this small room like he was performing a concert.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
It was really cool. He was very into it. So at one point, Skin is pointing behind me. And I'm like, right as Robin Thicke is coming towards me singing, I think, Blurred Lines. And I shake Robin Thicke's hand. And then he's still singing and walking around, and Skin points behind me, and then all of a sudden, Machine Gun Kelly is standing there.
Huh? So this was so weird, dude. So Robin Thicke did, I think, 7 songs. He did like an Al Green cover and Rock With You, and then he did the songs that you've heard by him. And so at the beginning of Blurred Lines, you figure that's the final song, right? And my wife is sitting next to me, and she taps me on the shoulder, and she goes, "That's Machine Gun Kelly." And I turned and I looked, and Ben's sitting across from me, and there's a little space because there's 3 main tables set up, and they're set up long ways away from the stage. And so in the middle of the whole deal is Dirk and his wife Jessica, and Coach Carlisle's there with his wife Donna. And sitting next to Carlisle was this guy named Steele Lafferty, which me and Ben had never heard of him, but he's the wakeboard champion of the United States. And of course, you can imagine he's a young guy from Orlando. So he's sitting next to Carlisle, and my wife points and goes, "That's Machine Gun Kelly." And she doesn't follow this stuff. And so I look, and he's about 15 feet away from us, and he's standing there with his arms folded, and he's standing there by Carlisle. And my first thought is, I go, "That ain't Machine Gun Kelly. The hell would he be doing here?" Keep in mind, Killshot was released, what, 8 hours before this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he at Dirk's thing? And so I go, "Honey, that's not Machine Gun Kelly." And then I look back to Robin Thicke, and 10 seconds later, she taps me on the shoulder, and I go, "What?" And she shoves a phone in my face. I was like, "Oh, yeah, that's him. It looks exactly, yep, you're right. That's Machine Gun Kelly." And so I start filming, and that's when Robin Thicke high-fives Ben and then walks 5 steps behind him and gives Machine Gun Kelly this big giant hug in the middle of his song. I was like, "What in the hell is going on, and what kind of conversation is he having with Carlisle right now?"
And so Skin, then we go, "Let's go talk to Machine Gun Kelly." And he got a little bit ahead of me, and I got stopped by somebody. And by the time I got out there, he and Machine Gun Kelly are having a conversation, and he couldn't have been nicer. What was he saying?
He was leaving when we got there because he had some gal in town. And if you know the story of Machine Gun Kelly's concert that he did here in Dallas about 4 or 5 years ago, I assumed it was Rachel Starr.
I know the story.
You might want to go Google that story.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we talked to him for a couple minutes. He was
let's talk about it.
He was leaving to go somewhere and do something.
But he, you know, he was saying
a little more cool or a little
the
more.
God is bloody. The God is bloody. I bloodied the God or something, right?
Yeah, he was. So he was basically, you know, because I mean, you're standing there, and the track from Eminem just got released. So you say what you're supposed to say. I was like, so what did you think about Killshot? I mean, what else are you going to say to the guy? It's one of the biggest stories of pop culture. He's like, it was all right, man. It was all right. But, man, I bloodied the God. I punched him in his face, man. I took the God out. He came at me with some weak stuff, you know, but, man, I took him out, you know? And he was, like, really high on what he had done a week earlier. Like, still just riding the wave.
He's like, whatever. My impression was he was like, yeah, he landed some jabs, but, you know, he also made my career. I'm going to be a millionaire now.
He goes, wait until I release my next record.
I didn't really know anything about him until I heard his first diss track. That's actually the first Machine Gun Kelly song I'd ever heard. But I was like,
played for the Broncos.
Yeah, right. I was like, dude, we're washed up rappers. This is what you're going to look like when you're 50. And he was pretty cool. He's like, yeah, I'd be all right with that. He's like, I'd be okay with that. That's good.
He was super nice, man. He was a really great dude.
Yeah, couldn't have been nicer. And then so you fast forward to the next day, and we show up at SMU Tennis Complex for the tennis event, and it was just really cool. So Andy Roddick, Tommy Haas, Taylor Dent, Andrew Painter, Mitchell Krueger, who is from
Fort Worth,
just was represented in the U.S. Open, the official new tennis player of the Ben and Skin Show, but... I mean, Roddick is just legendary, and he allowed us to mess with him the whole day. We're on the microphone. Skin was like, Roddick recently confided to me that he's got terrible credit problems, you know, like all this stuff. And
he didn't care.
He was talking about Tommy Haas. Skin was like, Tommy wants to kill the guy with good looks. And Skin was just killing it. And these guys are dying laughing while they're playing tennis, just listening to the stand-up comedy. And it was just so much fun. And I do want to share, there was one moment. So Dirk, you know, is... at one point he was playing and he was trying to reach a tennis ball, and it didn't look like it felt great for him to reach a tennis ball. So I was like, all right, I'm going to help Dirk out. I'll grab this tennis ball. And then I'm like, oh, my back kind of hurt. And then I was fat in my belly in the way, and I kind of reached down and I wasn't very graceful getting it. And there's just this is Dirk in a nutshell, this private moment. It's just me and Dirk. I mean, there's all these people there in the stadium, but they can't hear. And this hilarious moment where I was going to do him a favor and grab the tennis ball, and I just looked terrible. And he just says to me, real matter-of-factly, as I hand him the tennis ball, looking good, bud. Looking good, bud. And it's just between us, and it's so perfect, and it's just so good-natured, but so on the money. And I'm like, that's why that you love that guy.
He's awesome, man.
And he was playing out there. His wife, Jessica Nowitzki, and she basically does everything for... She runs the Dirk Nowitzki Foundation.
She's the face for them. I mean, Dirk's the face, but she runs it.
And, dude, you know, our wives looked gorgeous on Friday night. Dude, mm-hmm. No quit. They looked beautiful.
We swapped it up, man.
Everyone's come and tell us how we outkicked our coverage. Even Dirk. Dirk is, like, the greatest human we've ever known, and Dirk outkicked his coverage. His wife is incredible. And she's beautiful, but I'm not talking about looks. She is... just exceptional out there with what she's doing with the Dirk Nowitzki Foundation. So incredibly impressive. We're just so proud to be associated with Dirk and Jessica Nowitzki, and just an amazing event, man.
She's a global citizen. And so when they met, she was working for Kenny Goss's art gallery. Kenny Goss is the North Texas guy that was dating George Michael. They were a couple for a long time. And I was flipping through Instagram over the weekend and clicking on Dirk Nowitzki Foundation stuff, and I didn't realize that Kenny Goss guy was there.
Oh, really?
Because he Instagrammed a picture from the event. I mean, he could walk by me and I wouldn't know what he looked like. But she comes from the art world. She also comes from an athletic family. Both of her brothers play professional soccer overseas. She speaks multiple languages. She is truly a global citizen, and so is Dirk.
Yeah.
And so it's... they're going to raise their... At least the plan is for them to raise their kids here, so they're going to be... They're a very prominent Dallas family that does a lot of awesome stuff. And we meet a lot of people that work in sports, and very few of them are as good as they are.
It was fun hanging out with Monte Ellis, too. Now, he lives in Prosper here. I did not know that. I can't wait to get to know him. I need to get him in my game up there with the Prosper coaches. A little half-court basketball. I'm sure that's what he's looking for
a good half-court game.
But I do want to say this. Watching Mitchell Krueger and Andy Roddick and Tommy Haas and Taylor Dent and Andrew Painter, watching pro tennis players, I mean, and Mitchell Krueger's the only one who's still playing. Roddick was so explosive, so much fun to watch. But watching those guys play tennis, I missed out. I realized Dude, tennis is badass. I've never seen it played like that. And it was so much fun to be that close to legit awesome tennis being played. Like, what are you supposed to do when Roddick hits it at you at like 180 miles an hour? You basically can't do anything.
I think, like, you know, the era that we grew up in, that sort of tennis, you know, Connors and McEnroe and those guys, it got to where the serves were so explosive. It's almost like, you know, how people complain about baseball where it's just watching home runs. Like, a lot of these serves just aren't returnable, you know? And, but yeah, those guys, man, incredible. And they're not even players anymore. But it's an awesome event, and it's an honor to be a part of it. And, man, there was a lot of good Luka talk, too. Wow.
Oh, my God, we didn't even get into the Luka talk. Let's do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Let's talk about the – because everyone I had a chance to talk to, I asked about Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, the feedback was off the charts.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.